Tonight we come back to the book of James. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And you know, it's pretty amazing as James has been talking to leaders in chapter 3, verse 1, as we saw. And then we began to study concerning the tongue. And that's in a general base, talking to everybody with the problem of having a loose tongue. And how we really need to bring it under God's divine control by being empowered with the Holy Spirit. And now what James will do in the second part of the chapter, he will now deal with the issue of true wisdom and false wisdom, which I think is really important that we not only come to understand what he says here, because one of the things that I see in the body of Christ and in among pastor leaders or congregational people, is that a lot of people may have a lot of knowledge, but if you don't have the wisdom to use the knowledge, it can destroy you and it can hurt you. And one of the greatest and wisest person in the whole world was Solomon, the son of David. And one day, and if you have your Bible, turn with me just for a second to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. This is where God begins to raise Solomon as a young child. And when Solomon found out that he was going to become the next king of Israel, Solomon became very concerned about his own personal life. And so when he came to the Lord, the first thing that he does as he begins to pray for himself in the ministry that God will give to him is that God would give to him wisdom. Listen to chapter 3 beginning with verse 1. And now he says, Solomon made, he said, a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house in the house of the Lord, in the wall all around Jerusalem. And meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord in those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense to high places. And now the king went on to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place Solomon offered to thousands of burnt offerings in that altar. It says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. And God said to him, ask me what you want me to give to you. Can you imagine what it would be like to sit there at night in a half dream, half vision, and the Lord says, I'm going to give you the opportunity for you to ask me for whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Imagine all of the different offers that would be given to the Lord. I mean, you would actually reveal your heart immediately to the Lord. And Solomon was sitting there with this great offer given to by the Lord. Ask me whatever you want and I'll give it to you. Look at verse 6. He says, and Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him, notice, you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or how to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between the good and the evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Can you imagine that? He didn't ask for gold, silver, or anything like that. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing. You either have it or you don't have it. And it's pretty cool because look at the next verse, what God says here. Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked me for riches for yourself, nor have asked for life for your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See that I also have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you be after you. For I says, and I also have given to you what you have not asked. And what's that? Both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. Can you imagine that? Solomon, I'm giving you the bank account. I'm giving you everything you never asked for. I'm going to bless you. Solomon was one of the most richest men in the whole world, including his family. He writes to us 3,000 proverbs in the book of Proverbs, wisdom and knowledge, talking to his children. And yet when you look at the life of Solomon, you know, he was such a great, great king of Israel that he gave us not only the book of Proverbs, but he gave us the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of the Song of Solomon. And one of them was given to us in his young age, the one in the middle age, and then in his old age. And when you look at the book of Proverbs, you see the knowledge and the wisdom that he has. His God not only speaks to him and uses his life to commend the people and to share with the people and all of his children. And yet Solomon has one major, major problem. Women. This is his problem. When you go back to the book of Kings and you read, when God begins to set him up as the king of Israel, the first thing that he does is he marries heathen woman. A woman that worships idols and different gods. To the point that as he begins to marry these women that are total heathen women, that he begins to fill his house in Jerusalem and the temple of the Lord with all these disgusting idols. And we see Solomon as a young man walking in the Spirit of God, walking and being guided by God himself. And in the middle of his age, he begins to backslide. And by the time he is old, he's fully backslidden. In the book of Ecclesiastes, read what he says. Everything I have ever done is nothing but emptiness of life. Nothing but emptiness of life. The smartest man in the whole world got messed up. And yet he was the wisest person when God spoke to his heart. And I think it's really of importance as we see the study tonight, that here now, James is going to be talking to us, because he's been talking to us about a key to right talk and right thinking. The tongue is to be contained in a cage with teeth and lips, but it needs not to escape in words. And yet it is not intelligence that keeps the lock on the cage. It is the actual wisdom, a wisdom that is characterized by humility, by grace, and by peace, that God wants to give to every single one of us individually. Individually, we need it. And what we're going to see now is here the beginning, as he begins with the problem of conduct concerning wisdom. Look at chapter 3, verse 13 now. We pick up the second part to the book of James, chapter 3. He says this, who is wise and understanding among you? He gives you a question when he starts. Who is wise among you? Who is really smart? Is there anyone that really uses God's wisdom as is given to us in the book of Proverbs? Someone wrote this, which was pretty interesting. He said the basic meaning given in the wise is this: having or showing good judgment, having the power or discerning of judging correctly, or discriminating between what is true and what is false, between what is proper and what is improper. This is a true wise man, having discernment. How to really respond, how to really react, how to live the Christian life. And so here he begins with a question, and he wants to ask the question, who is wise and understanding among you? And then he says this, let him show it by his conduct, by the way you live. What did Jesus say? They shall know you by your fruits. Interesting. They shall know you by your fruits. This is why I keep repeating myself on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights that people are watching us. If you're married and you have children, you have a full church in your own house of little disciples that are constantly listening and watching and thinking and then responding to what they see. And for me, this is very important. Why? Because if you have a father in the home that doesn't take the leadership of his home, then how can he have wisdom in his home? If he's not reading the Bible, if he's not praying with his family. But all he does is he comes in and he begins to order people around. It begins by not only doing that, but he begins as a bad-tempered person to begin verbal abuse against his wife, against his children. Because he's been in the office all day long and everybody's come against him. And so now he comes home to those that really love him and care for him. And what does he do? He uses them as a doormat. That's not wisdom. That is not wisdom. That's a lack of judgment, discernment. It's really important that we take heed to what the Word of God teaches here. That it's of importance, like King Solomon, that we as men need to take the leadership of our homes and we need to pray like Solomon, Lord, give me wisdom to be able to go to work, to be able to run my house, to be able to run my business, and whatever else I have to do, the principal thing is your wisdom, God, that I need. We really need to pray for that. And the reason I say that is because there is so much about wisdom. Turn with me for a second to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Look what Solomon says in chapter 8. You should be reading a proverb every day, 31 proverbs, one for each day of the month. Proverbs chapter 8. Here is Solomon, he says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the path meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the door. To you, O men, I call. My voice, he says, and my voice is to the sons of men. All you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be an understanding heart. Listen, for I speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. He says they are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance is an evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princesses rule. And nobles are all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possesses me at the beginning of his ways, before his works of old, he says. 1 second. I have been enabled from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth, and there was no depth that was brought forth, when there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth, speaking of wisdom. While I was yet, he had not made the earth or the fields, or the primeval dust of the world. He says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily with his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Can you imagine? This is wisdom. Who's wisdom? Jesus Christ himself. Speaking of wisdom, the importance, the principal thing among the Proverbs. And check this out. Let's just go for a few Proverbs here that are really important. Proverbs chapter 4. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Beginning with verse 5 and verse 7. He says in verse 5. He says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. And then again there in verse 7. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, he says, and she will promote you. She will bring honor when you embrace her. She will place on your heart an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom, and I have led you in right paths. A father speaking to his children, training them in the ways of the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 10. Of Proverbs. Verse 10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And then again in chapter 16, verse 16, he says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. And then one more, 19:8, chapter 19, verse 8, he says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul, and he who keeps understanding will find good. So there's plenty in the scriptures about wisdom. There's a list here concerning wise people in the Bible, like Joseph, the temple craftsmen, the Israelites, Joshua, David, the wise woman in Tekoa, the wise woman in Sheba, and Beersheba, Solomon, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel, the wise men of Babylon, the wise men from the east, Jesus, Stephen, Moses, and Paul. All with great wisdom given to them. And so here we are tonight in the book of James, and here James is asking the question, who is wise and understanding among you? He says, then you know by this, let him show by the good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. This is how you know. Let me tell you a couple of things that I saw here that are really important. Number one, he's talking about behavior here, the way we should live as Christians. No one can prove to be wise unless you demonstrate it by what you do in your life. By what you do in your life. People will be able to tell what kind of a wise person you are. Especially if you're a person that is in the Word of God and you're in Sunday school and you're here on the church on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, and at home you do your devotions and you're reading the Bible and you're teaching your children, you'll become a pretty wise person. You'll be able to discern from right and wrong. You'll know between the darkness and the light. And this is what James is talking about here. That there's a lot of people that are not really wise, and he's talking to Christians. Remember, he's talking to Jewish people in the congregation in the book of James. Those that have become born again of the Holy Spirit. And he wants to make sure they truly understand that this wisdom is a wisdom that is humble. This is true wisdom that God gives to you. And then he says this, let him show or prove it. How do we prove it? By good conduct, or literally by our behavior, the manner of life that we live. And that is, his works are done, how? In meekness and wisdom. Or we get our word wisdom, Sophia, a woman's name. Sophia, which means wisdom, to understand. And it's beautiful here because what's happening here, when he talks about the word meekness, he's talking about humility, gentleness, which is the principal thing that controls one life. To be meek, to be humble, to be gentle. When you have true wisdom, there are true works in your life that are given to us. People will be able to tell whether you make the right decision or the wrong decision in the long terms as they're looking at your life. And usually a person that is reading the Word of God, and you read the Proverbs every month, Proverbs 1 through 31, when there's 30 days or there's 31 days, there's Proverbs for every single day of your life that you can read to your children, you can read to your wife, you can read to yourself, and begin every month to memorize part of the proverb or a scripture that God will give to you as a key verse in that chapter. By the end of the year, imagine how many verses you have in your mind to be able to operate as a child of God. To be able to say, yes, I do have true wisdom. And what is true wisdom? To fear God and to turn from sin. That's true wisdom. To have the fear of the Lord and to repent and turn from sin. That is true wisdom. It's so beautiful the way God works through His Word. And the way James sat down to write this beautiful letter to us for the 21st century. Because I believe there's a lot of people today that are not really wise people. They're not really wise. They don't really have the experience. They don't really have the knowledge to really put to practice the wisdom that we really need within our own personal lives. And yet the Bible is covered with the wisdom and the knowledge of God, where we can become more like Him as we study, as we surrender, as we submit, as we repent of our sins. God can begin to function within our own personal lives completely together. And then it's so beautiful because now what James will do, I love this, is he's going to give you in chapter 3, 14 through 16, verses 14 through 16, he's going to talk to you right now to teach you what false wisdom is. And then he'll finish with true wisdom. Let's look at false wisdom and what it is. Notice beginning in verse 14. He begins with conflicts here. He's going to begin with the presence of conflict in our daily lives. He says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Pretty heavy. He starts out just really rebuking. And the reason he does that is because he's talking about these people. They were saying that they really had the wisdom of God, but they were very unwise people here. When he begins here in chapter 3, verse 14, he says, but if you have bitter, the word if here is the same word where Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, talking to Satan, when Satan came to tempt him, remember he says, if you are the Son of God. No, in the Greek is this, since you are the Son of God. So the word here for if literally is since. But since you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts. And he's talking to who? To all of us. Why? Because we've all had that before. Bitter envy and self-seeking in our hearts. Even before we came to Christ and even after we came to Christ, these are the problems. These are the problems in the Christian life. And here James is kind of teaching us a lesson that must be learned in each one of our lives. Because as he says here concerning this word bitter envy, he's talking about people that are jealous of other people. Jealous of other people, that's not wisdom. Think of how many times people become jealous of their neighbors for what they have and you don't have. It could be a job, it could be a car, it could be the house or the things in the house, or it could be money. And yet as Christians, we should never be jealous of anybody. We should never be jealous of anybody, or we should never be self-seekers, self-seeking. If you really, truly want to take the character of the Christian life, instead of being jealous, we should be thankful for what God has given to us. Thankful. Not coveting, not wanting what somebody else has, and then becoming jealous. But truly, when he talks about the word being self-seeking here, literally the word is to strive. That's a personal ambition at any cost. A personal ambition at any cost. No matter what it takes, I'm going to get it. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to get it no matter how long it takes me to get it. We can't do that as believers. We have to really bring our lives before the cross of Jesus Christ so that we can take care of envy, jealousy, and take care of this problem of self-seeking in our hearts. Notice that the problem is we're in the heart. In the heart. Notice what he says here. The place where the motives are, where every motive is, according to Proverbs 4:23, the heart is where the issues of the heart are. That's the motives, where everything rises. He says, do not boast. That is about God's wisdom. Do not be boasting about God's wisdom if you have envy and self-seeking. You don't have God's wisdom. He says, and lie against the truth or lie against the word of God. Do not lie about God's word. He says, if you're saying that and you have envy and self-seeking, you're not living according to the word of God. You're not a doer of God's word. You're not a doer. You're only pretending. You're just playing the game. And I think this is really good that it's bringing the negative before it brings the positive to us. Because it makes us examine our lives tonight. Where is it that I'm being jealous over a matter or a person or whatever thing may be where I need to take care of that problem before that problem takes over my life and destroys me fully and completely? So God doesn't want you to be destroyed, but he wants you to have the proper wisdom in how to respond to the problems that you're facing even today in your own personal lives. That's what the book of James is about. If you're a business person, you really need God's wisdom. If you're a parent, you need God's wisdom. If you're going to college, you need God's wisdom. And we really need God's wisdom in any profession that we are dealing with here tonight. We need it fully, completely, and it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is ask for it, and God will give it to you, just like Solomon. That's Solomon. I've learned by reading the Proverbs, it's so cool, that usually when I read the proverb today, whenever I read the proverb every day, that when I'm facing situations or problems in the ministry or home or whatever it may be, that proverb for that day was excellent. That God brought it up. And he gave me a word from that proverb. Or maybe as I'm moving right now, I'm plowing right now through the book of Ezekiel. In my reading of Ezekiel. Things that were happening in his time. God will speak to my heart. And I think it's really cool how the Lord not only knows our hearts and knows our minds and our being, and as we humble ourselves before him and we come humbly to read the word of God and to pray and to fellowship with believers all over the country, all over the world, especially in the body of Christ, then we can be wise people where our children, our grandchildren will be able not to be proud of us, but they'll be able in confidence to come with us because they know that we're going to give them God's wisdom. God's wisdom. They're not going to be fearful. That God will speak to them through the Word of God because you're in the Word of God. But yet, there are people, like he says here, the world's wisdom is not God's wisdom. But if you have any bitter envy or jealousy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast. And notice again, do not boast. Literally, do not take the glory or lie, or do not lie against God's word or God's gospel fully and completely. Verse 15, this wisdom, he's going to tell you, is not descending from above. This is not the wisdom from God in heaven. He tells you flat out. What kind of wisdom is it then? Listen, three things. It's earthly, it's sensual, and demonic. Whoa, that's heavy. Isn't that what John said in 1 John 2, 14, 15, and 16? He said what? Earthly, that's the world. Sensual, that's the flesh. And demonic is the devil and all his demons. Those are the three areas that we really have to be careful with. Because here James is reminding us that this wisdom is not of God. This wisdom is from the devil. It's devilish. And the devil is the one that is influencing in this wisdom. And it doesn't honor God. It doesn't build up the body of Christ. It tears it down. It destroys it. And it will destroy your life. And it will destroy your children. And it will destroy your home. And it will destroy your job. And that's why it's really important that every morning when you get up to go anywhere you're going, to ask God to bless you with God's wisdom. Lord, fill me with your wisdom today. As I meet clients, as I go to school and hear my teachers, as I go to the grocery store, wherever I'm going, Lord, be with me and tell me what to say and what not to say, and give me my thoughts that will be your thoughts so that I can have a beautiful day in you, O Lord. And if you're not spending time in the Word and in prayer, what's going to happen? You're going to start in the flesh and end in the flesh by the end of the day. We need to start by the Spirit of God so that we can defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil by admitting, Lord, I need you. And I need you to speak to my heart that I may be able to be a man and a woman of the Word of God, because we need it more than ever before today. There are so many demons today that are destroying people's lives by oppressing, depressing, possessing. And yet as a child of God, the devil can't possess us, but he can oppress us. He can oppress you big time. He can depress you too. And yet we have the right and the power to say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I rebuke thee. You don't have to scream. He's not deaf. He listens. Very calmly, I say, in Jesus' name, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he's always attacking my thoughts, and he's attacking my life. And he attacks me physically too. So it's really important, like James here is speaking to us, that this wisdom that you're talking about in verse 14, it is what? It descends not from above from heaven. It's not of the Lord. It is of the world. It is of the flesh. And it is of the devil. And God doesn't honor it. And then check this out. Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, what is that? Confusion. Confusion. There's total confusion. Notice that. James says here that where this earthly wisdom exists, there is confusion in every work. There is no peace. No peace. No advancement in the kingdom of God. Everything stands still. And check this out. For where there's envy and self-seeking exists, confusion in every worthless, the word evil here is worthless, things are there. And the word confusion here, this is to wisdom, the wisdom of the world that leads to what? To confusion and eventually to death. The world's confusion. There has no wisdom. It's always, always confusing people in the world. But it should not confuse us because we're in the light. Jesus Christ said that he was the light of the world. And if we are truly in the light where Jesus dwells, and we're praying and we're reading and we're asking God for wisdom and knowledge in everything that we do, imagine how much more happier we would be at the end of the day because we've done everything according to God's will, not according to our will. And that can be from motherhood to fatherhood to jobs, everything else in life. It's for everything in life to have the wisdom of God. And yet, these people that James is talking about, they have no peace with God at all. Now, watch what he says in verse 17 and 18, true wisdom now. The characteristics of true wisdom here. He begins in verse 17, he says this. But the wisdom that is from above, from God, is what? First, pure. Isn't that neat? Pure. This is now the characteristics of a wise person. True wisdom is the wisdom of God, and this is what we will see in a person that is really a wise person. We'll see pureness of life. What does that mean? If the word is sincere or moral attitude, he is sanctified. He's been born again of the Holy Spirit, and he walks by the Spirit of God. Notice that. And I love this because watch what he says. He says, if a person has this wisdom that is from above, and is what is first in priority, it is pure, then these are the things that will be seen in that person's life. Number one, peaceable. Notice that. This will be the things. After peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Isn't that neat? That person walks and operates with a new heart. A new attitude from heaven, not from this earth. This is the real child of God that is walking by the Holy Spirit's power, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. This is the person that is spending time on his knees. This is the person that stops and waits and thinks and prays before they answer or before they commit themselves to any situation. They've gone to God before they make any kind of a deal. Because they want to be in God's perfect will. That's why he says at the beginning, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. First pure, and then this is what happens. Peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. Will never be a hypocrite like that. Never be a hypocrite like that. And then he says this. This is amazing. He says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown how? In peace by those who make peace. Isn't that interesting? Not those that are making war all the time. Here he says that this happens when we are at war with God. We have no peace. No peace at all. Until what? Until a person makes peace with God. Literally, when he uses the word now, it means, but on the other hand, the fruit of the righteousness is what? Is sown by the peace of God and by those who are making peace themselves. Peace themselves. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Paul really explains it beautifully here. Ephesians 4. He says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing one another in love. Notice, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace. That's how we do it. And then one more, Philippians chapter 4. I love this one. Ephesians and then Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 6. This is what he says. He says, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here, watch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? That's what James has been saying. The same thing Paul said. For those that make peace with God, and those that wait upon the Lord and ask God to give you the wisdom of God, and you're taking care of your children and taking care of your family, taking care of your job or being working for somebody else, if you really put yourself in God's hands and you say, Lord, I don't care what happens in my life, but I really, truly want to be a wise woman. I want to be a wise man. I'm going to tell you something. God will do it in your lives. It's a step of faith that you do it. Why? Because the peace of God makes what? It makes enjoy not only God's peace, but we can enjoy peace with one another. With one another. Instead of fighting with each other, the peace of God will rule over your lives. Because wisdom tells you what? Hey, don't do that. Build up, honor, respect. But if you don't have that type of a wisdom, aggression, bitterness, and you say things that you should never say that are going to hurt a person, but that should never be. If we're truly children of the light, we should walk in the light as He is in the light. This is so amazing for each one of us individual tonight that we start practicing it in our lives. Because James, he's going to wipe us out in chapter 4. We'll pick it up next week. Father, we thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies. And Lord God, for everything that you're doing in each one of our hearts, Lord. Father, you're moving through your Holy Spirit in the life of so many beautiful people, Lord God. And Lord God, we pray this evening for your church. And we pray, Lord God, for the children and the teens and, Father, the adults. And Lord, we pray for those that may be watching through the internet and those that are here tonight, Lord God, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that, Lord, we want to ask you to forgive us for being unwise people. And Lord, we ask you that you baptize us with your wisdom, Lord God, tonight. Make us men and women and children and teens and young adults that are wise people in the kingdom of God, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for everything that we have done, Lord God. And I'm going to ask you, as we're all praying right now for the congregation, that if there's anybody visiting with us tonight, you've been here before, you're here for the first time, and if there's anybody here tonight that would love to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're tired of religion, you're tired of this world, you want to make things right before the Lord, then if you want to really have good wisdom, choose the Lord. Choose the Lord. You can't do nothing apart from Jesus Christ. You'll go all your life struggling, striving, walking in the flesh, and at the same time on your way to hell, and yet Jesus Christ tonight wants to rescue you. And he wants to cleanse you, and he wants to wash you by his blood. And he wants to take your sins and cast them as far as to the east or the west, bury them in the deepest part of the ocean, and never again remember them ever again, and to make you a new person with a new mind and a new heart and a new life. And if there's anybody here that would like that, I'm going to ask you by faith to stand to your feet, to walk out onto the aisle and to come up here to the front where I am and stand right here in front of the staircase here, and we're going to pray with you. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, okay? Pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you tonight as my Lord, my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give us a Bible, some literature. You guys go right over here. Young ladies over here. Go right over there, okay? Awesome. Go right over there. Awesome. Neat.